Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
There's a city, a beautiful city, just beyond the divide, where God's children shall rest eternal. There will ever abide. Daily striving to reach that homeland, we are going that way.
Teaching on the subject assurance of salvation, people need to make sure that what they have in their heart is the truth from God and not something that you have conjured up. For it's through Scripture where you find out whether you truly belong to God or not. It is Scripture that has stood the test of time.
Throughout the centuries, people have come with ideas and religious ideologies, but the scriptures have remained the same. They do not change. God's word is still like it was when it was first given to mankind. So we have this anchor, which is the word of God, that we can depend on. There is one person that said you can give 1,000 people one scripture, and those 1,000 people can have different interpretations of what that scripture means. That I have found out to be true and very amazing, because I have had some interesting situations where a scripture would fit right in there. And then years later, I would have a different situation where the same scripture would fit in. I hope you understand what I am speaking here. God wants us to understand that the Word of God is infinite and it will speak to our hearts. But there is one thing we have to remember. Scriptures will always complement scriptures. They will never, ever contradict one another. So here is how we have to operate when it comes to the truth of our salvation. Does scripture identify with what we have experienced? This is how I operated when I first came to know the Lord. The revelation came to my heart. God opened my spirit to the truth of my salvation. And then I studied scripture and found out through reading scripture that what I have had experienced was really truth and lined up with the Word of God. So today I will again teach on scriptures that will talk about assurance of our salvation. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of your word. I thank you, O precious Father, for your word, because we can depend on it. You will bless the listeners in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the years, I have come to understand that people can take scripture and make them say what they want them to say. They can be very convincing, and God will allow that because God allows people to do what they want to. He gives them over to their hearts. So if a person is not true and honest with God in his heart, then God will allow him to understand things even in a way that is not true. And I have seen that. He may warn a person once or twice or maybe a few times, and then he gives them over to his own heart and allows him to understand scripture in a way that he wants to understand them. There are people that have said to me, the Holy Spirit has to give you revelation on things that simply did not line up with the Word of God or with the Spirit of God. So you have to combine the two. Do they line up with the Word of God or with the Spirit of God? Before you take that scripture and settle it in your heart. When the Lord God spoke to me about my eternal security, I started to seek the heart of God and understood his heart. And then through scripture, I found what I was looking for. I was seeking scripture from victory and not trying to find victory. That's a big difference when you study the Word of God. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 had some very interesting comments when he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he was with Jesus. He talked with him, he touched him. But then in verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, but we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereby you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So he tells us, regardless of what your experience is, make sure that you listen to the sure word of prophecy until the day star arises in your heart. And what is that prophecy? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter is telling us here, regardless how incredible my experiences were, it is the word of God that proved my experiences. The word of God was written by holy men as they were moved and spake through the power of the Holy Ghost. And he is talking about scripture here. So Peter had the revelation that regardless of what your experience is, if it does not line up with scripture, then you need to be very, very careful. Then you actually put it aside and don't even waste time with it. God wants us to make sure that we walk on a path that is sure and not some deception. When it comes to the assurance of our salvation, I believe this is where God wants us to be settled. For he tells us the reason for being joyful is the knowledge that our name is written in the book of life. Is your name written there? Do you know that it is? Is it settled in your heart when you open scripture and you come across these verses that talk about salvation? Does it identify with the spirit that is within you? Or are you wondering whether it's really true? There is a big difference. You need to identify and rejoice in the scriptures that speak of your salvation. When I preach on different subjects, and that happens when you're a pastor, you preach on the gifts of the Spirit, you preach on different kinds of things. But I have noticed when I preach on assurance of salvation, the people that listen to me, how their faces light up, I can understand by their reactions that what I am speaking identifies with them. I don't have to go from scripture to scripture trying to explain to them how it works. The one that knows that he's born again, you can see it on his or her face that what I'm speaking registers with their hearts. This is what I mean by knowing in your heart that you have the revelation of your salvation experience. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 9, there is an interesting scripture. It tells us, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now you can look at salvation from victory and not trying to achieve victory. You have entered into that rest. You understand that your work is over as far as your salvation is concerned. You are content because God has given you the revelation. So now you can rest assured in your salvation. It tells us, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. So he tells us, let's labor, let's seek after to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Scripture is warning us here to find that rest before we fall into unbelief or discouragement. And throughout my Christian life, I have come across many believers who will argue with you that you can still fall away or that nobody can know that he is really, truly safe. That spells one thing to me. That person has not come into his rest. He doesn't see Scripture from his rest position. He doesn't see Scripture from victory. He's still trying to achieve victory. So labor, enter into that rest and find out where you stand with this awesome God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Holy Spirit through Scripture is warning us to live a godly life, to add on to our salvation brotherly kindness, temperance, meekness, all these gifts of the fruits of the Spirit. He is commanding us that we need to add on to our faith so that we will not get discouraged or disappointment. In verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he tells us, "But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." What this scripture seems to be saying here, if you're going to live a life that is ungodly, that is not seeking after God, there is a danger that you will even lose your assurance of salvation. It says that you will forget that you were purged from your old sin. It doesn't say that you will lose it. It says that you will forget. So live for the Lord. And through living for the Lord, through seeking his will, the assurance of our salvation becomes stronger and stronger, because we are becoming one with the anchor that we're anchored in, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, a relationship with our Redeemer cements our security in our God. This bond will never be broken. It becomes stronger and stronger. The Holy Spirit, which is the cement or the bond, becomes stronger and stronger as our relationship continues. The day comes, the time comes, when the Holy Spirit's presence is so real in your life that it becomes natural to talk to him and to expect incredible things for him. I have read of testimonies where people ask God of things, and the things happens within minutes of their asking. Incredible miracles and signs and wonders happen because people have become so intimate in their relationship with God that the spiritual overrides the natural. Yes, the spiritual becomes more real to them than the natural. And in some cases, I have experienced that already. This is why I can preach this message with such boldness. Yes, the revelation of the Holy Spirit in your heart becomes so real that whatever happens in the natural doesn't really matter, as long as you know where you stand in the spiritual realm. This is how it became with the apostles, and this is what's open for us once we start seeking. The Lord wants to open your heart to that truth. There is a lost world out there, and he wants us to reach the lost, and that can only be done through the revelation and the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, once we see Scripture and God in that way, then the rest really takes hold in our heart. And for those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are fast running out of time. Turn to him for your salvation, because once you close your eyes in death, then comes the judgment. And what you have found in this life will continue with you throughout your eternal life. So give him your life and heart today and become a blessing to many. Amen.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave, unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone. I may live in a palace tall with great riches to call my own, but I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave, unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul makes some astonishing statements. And I believe the only way he could make those statements was through the leading of the Holy Spirit. For to the natural mind, they would not make any sense whatsoever. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 9, it says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But then he goes on to say, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." When one is honest with himself, he will understand that we identify with some of those accusations here. It tells us that no covetous shall enter into the kingdom of God. But as a born-again Christian, we understand that we do covet. There are lots of times when Christians covet. There are lots of times when Christians do different things that are not pleasing to God. And the Word of God teaches if you break one law, you break them all. So if you're guilty of being covetous, then you're also guilty of being a drunkard. You're also guilty of being a thief. You're guilty of being an extortioner. So the Apostle Paul is making a statement through the revelation and the power of the Holy Ghost. He says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So he is telling us, before you became born again, If you did those things, you do not enter into the kingdom of God. But after you become born again, it tells us you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our God. Do we stop doing those things as a habit? I'm sure most, if not all, Christians do. We don't seek after these things anymore. But I have a very suspicious feeling most of us fall into those things every now and then. And then the Apostle Paul makes a more astonishing statement. He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." He tells us here very clearly, nothing can touch me. I have been washed, I have been sanctified. The law that tells me not to do these things have been put out of the way. It's been nailed to the tree. Now I'm totally free from the bondages of sin. Not only are you free from the bondage and the damnation that sin can bring to your life, to your soul, but you're also free from the bondage of sin because now the Holy Ghost will help you to sidestep and to get away from these things. This is what the Bible teaches. If we lean on the Lord, then he will make a way of an escape for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 19, it tells us, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own." See, here he makes a very interesting statement. You are not your own. Your body belongs to the Holy Spirit. It's God's temple. "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So he is really telling us to live for the Lord God, because our body and our spirit doesn't belong to us anymore. They belong to God. I will give you an example in the natural. If somebody buys a slave, then that slave has no right to his own body or to himself anymore. I have read many horrible stories of the slaves in the South before the Civil War. The owners would do horrible things with them. They would even torture them for the fun of it. This is what a slave's rights are. And here is what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. So live for the Lord because you belong to him. You do not have any rights to choose anymore whether you want to belong to your slave owner, but you do have the ability to choose whether you're going to serve him with a heart out of love. So seek a relationship with your Lord and Master. Offer your soul and your body as a living sacrifice to him, and you can be sure that your life will be joyful while you serve your God and your Master here on this earth. The Lord will open your heart to these incredible truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Thank you.